Welcome to Burnside at Home. It's Richard here, and this is the audio of the service of worship from Burnside Presbyterian Church. Once again, thank you so much for listening. I pray that sometime soon we'll be able to meet again on a Sunday, but in the meantime, this is the best that we can do, so thank you for joining us each week. Don't forget that there is also a midweek Bible study available on this phone line on a Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. This week we'll begin a four-part study in the letter from Paul to the Philippians, finding joy in our suffering. This week in our worship service we have a number of different people taking part. Our theme is the Lord's Prayer. The Bible reading is by Laura McCaw and is from Matthew chapter 6. That's Matthew chapter 6. Nick McCaw, Laura's dad, is going to lead us in prayer. And lots of members of the congregation are going to lead us in praying the Lord's Prayer. As ever, we'll have an introduction at the beginning. This time, lots of church members are going to be welcoming you today. We'll have a prayer, a reading, and then the sermon. After the sermon, we'll ask why Jesus. We'll have our children's talk. And please remember that there isn't any music in this telephone service. And please ignore any reference that there is to the music. So thank you so much for listening. And let us worship God together today.
Hi, folks. And welcome to Burnside at Home.
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 Welcome to Burnside at Home. It's great that you're able to join with us today. And we're something very special. I think today is the most people that we have had taking part in our worship via recording since we began this whole process. And I want to thank everyone who has recorded bits and pieces for the various services throughout this time of lockdown. There are two things that make Burnside at Home very special. First of all, it's God's Word. We open up God's Word and we ask Him that He would speak to us each time that we gather together for worship remotely. But then secondly, it is you taking part in our worship that makes it special as well. And that means the folk who have recorded videos of prayers and readings and the Lord's Prayer for today and other little reports, that makes it special because we can see each other and we can worship with each other. But also each one of you at home, you're taking part in our worship as well. You're not just sitting watching a television program. You're actually worshiping God. And that's what is important about Burnside at Home. That we don't just sit back and watch from a distance, but that we actually take part. This is us worshiping. And we may be in our own homes, we may be scattered all over the place, but we are together in spirit and in truth, worshipping the one true living God. We're honouring God. So wherever you happen to be this morning, don't just sit and watch, but approach this as a time of worship, as an opportunity to draw close to God. So whenever we pray, pray along. Whenever there is music, if you can, sing along, or at the very least, follow the words along with it, so that the words that are being sung are also the words of our hearts, that we lift our worship to God. Because this is important. Get your Bible open as well, and follow along in your Bible, so that God would have an opportunity through His Holy Spirit to speak to each one of us. Our theme for this morning, or for today, is the Lord's Prayer. And we're going to be using phrases from the Lord's Prayer right throughout our time of worship. And then we're going to be looking at it in a bit more detail towards the end of our worship together. But we begin our service this morning with the beginning of that Lord's Prayer. And as we come to worship, our prayer is, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. We pray today that God's name would be hallowed, that it would be made holy through everything that we do, that everything that we do in Burnside at Home today would be acceptable to God and would honour him and would lift his name high so that he would be hallowed. And as we think about the Lord's Prayer today, we're going to begin with our first item of praise. And it's a wonderful version of the Lord's Prayer sung by Andrea Bocelli. And as you listen and perhaps meditate on the words of the Lord's Prayer, ask that God would draw you closer to him and that you would meet with him and indeed worship him today. As we've just sung the words of the Lord's Prayer, let's use that as our motivation as we come to God in prayer. So let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we bow before you today, we ask, Lord, that you would draw near to us. We ask, Lord, that as we come into your presence to offer you our worship, and we acknowledge how holy and perfect and without sin you are, we pray, Lord, that you would forgive us now. We come confessing our sin, and we thank you that you are the God who has sent your Son, Jesus, to die for our sins. And therefore today, Lord, we come to you seeking the forgiveness and the grace and mercy that can only come from Jesus. Be with us, Lord, throughout this whole service, and guide us in everything that we do together. Draw us into your presence. May we truly meet with you today, Lord. And may you bless us and equip us for the week ahead. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So what's coming up in our service today? Well, we've got a very special version of the Lord's Prayer towards the end of our time of worship. Laura McCaw is going to read it from Matthew chapter 6. Nick McCaw is going to lead us in prayer. So let's continue to worship God together.
Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 to 14. Prayer. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you.
So the Lord's Prayer has been at the centre of everything that we've done in Burnside at Home today. And we're going to end in a few moments or two with a very special version of it. But I want us to think for a little while about each of the phrases in the Lord's Prayer, and then how we can use them in our own prayers. Because I firmly believe that this is a prayer that we can say to God. We can just simply go through the words that Jesus has given us and pray them. And we can pray them on nearly any occasion. But I also believe that it's a pattern for prayer. that each of the phrases is there to be used as a little jog to our memory, so that whenever we're not sure what we should say to God, we can look down through the prayer and get some ideas, so that we don't just use the words that are there, but we can expand upon them and we can use them ourselves. So the prayer begins, "Our Father who art in heaven." And that's a good place to start, because we're focused on God, we're thinking about him, we're putting him in his rightful place. That we're not just looking at the world around us and saying, oh, look how terrible the world is, we need to do something about it, let's make things better. We're actually saying, our Father, he's the one in control. He's the one who is there. And by saying Father, we're saying that he cares for us. He looks after us. He wants to help us. In Psalm 68, the psalmist says that God is a father to the fatherless, a defender of the widows. God sets the lonely in families. And this is who we're acknowledging right at the start of this prayer. This is our Father, the one who sets lonely people into families to bring them comfort and to bring them help. The church as we know it is a family. We are believers, brothers and sisters together. And in Jesus telling the disciples and telling us to say our Father, he's including us all together. He's saying, our Father, he's my Father, Jesus is saying, he's your Father. Let's come to him in prayer. And let's acknowledge that he is reigning and he is in control of all things. At the beginning of our service, we use the words, hallowed be thy name. In other words, we pray that God's name would be made holy. And we're going to end our service by singing, holy, 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 those three words that declare that God is not just a little bit holy, but he's three times holy. He is the most holy God. He is different from anyone else that we know. He's different from anything else that we encounter. In 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 2 we read, "There is no one holy like the Lord. There is no one beside you. There is no rock like our God." Nobody is like God in holiness. He is completely different. He is the one that we're to trust. And so if we make him holy, then we pray that the world would recognize him as being different, that the world would recognize that he is somebody special. Then we pray, "Thy kingdom come." Because we recognize that God's in heaven and he's reigning in heaven, and that we need his kingdom here on earth. That's what we were thinking about and why Jesus today. That the only solution to this whole coronavirus problem, the only solution to the problems in the world that we see around us at the moment, is for God to intervene. Yes, we need to social distance. Yes, we need vaccines. Yes, we need to be careful and follow the government guidelines. But ultimately, we need thy kingdom to come here on earth, that God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We've seen for far too long now that God's will is not being done on earth. And then we wonder to ourselves, why do terrible things happen? God's will, his kingdom, need to come on earth. We need to pray that this would happen. And this is where we have a vital role in our world recovering. There's so much in the news at the moment about the economy, and it's vital. We've got so many members of our church who have businesses, and they're struggling at this time. And even whenever they're allowed to open again, the restrictions are going to be so tight that they will still suffer economically. The ultimate solution is just not economic. It's for God, for his will to be done, for people to turn to him and seek him again. And once this nation falls on its knees and repents of its sin, then God will bless, and the economy will be strengthened, health will be strengthened, people will come to God and find hope in him again. Then as we go on through the prayer, we pray, give us this day our daily bread. We're acknowledging that everything that we need for life comes from God, that he's the one who supplies it, that there's nowhere else that we need look, that we look to him and we acknowledge that all good gifts come from him. In Deuteronomy 8, we read, he humbled you, causing you to hunger, and then feeding you with manna, talking about the children of Israel as they wandered through the wilderness. And we're told there that they, neither you nor your ancestors had known about the manna, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. And so we thank God for his provision each day. We thank God for the way that he looks after us. But we acknowledge that it's not just the physical that we need, it is also the spiritual. And so as we pray these words, we're looking beyond ourselves. We're looking even beyond the earth that we're living on. And we're saying, Lord, we recognize that this is a spiritual problem. And we're coming to you, seeking you today. So as we pray the Lord's Prayer, maybe day by day, we need to remember these things and think about these things. And then we come to a moment of humility within the prayer, where we pray and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespassed against us. It is vital that we repent of our sin. I know it maybe sounds like a terrible thing to say in a world where we need hope and we need encouragement and we need built up to say, look, we are sinners and we need to confess our sin before God. But we do. And until we confess our sin and receive the forgiveness, then truly we have no hope. We have no hope of the future whatsoever. So we need to repent. We need to ask God for forgiveness so that he can then pour out his grace and his mercy through Jesus Christ and fill us with his hope. That we then have a purpose, that we then have a future. Whatever's going on around us in the world, we can trust in the forgiveness that God gives us. And then we pray and lead us, not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We're praying to God and acknowledging that he's the one who leads us, that he is the one who guides us. If we follow the world, then we will be led into temptation. And if we're led into temptation, we will likely give in to temptation and sin. But we're praying that God would lead us, that he would lead us the righteous way, that he would lead us the way that we need to go, that he would show us the right way to live our lives, that he would deliver us from the evil that's in this world, and he would protect us. The psalmist says in Psalm 34, I sought the Lord, he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. And that's the deliverance that we need at this time. We're fearful. We don't know what's going to happen. If you have a job, you don't know what's going to happen to that job. If you have a business, you don't know what's going to happen to that business. If you're unwell, you don't know what's going to happen to your health. If you're isolated at home, you don't know what's going to happen in the future. As we were thinking last week, there is the possibility of fear, but faith over fear. God, today we pray that he will deliver us from evil, that he will deliver us from our fears, as the psalmist says in Psalm 34. And then as we get towards the end of the prayer, we're able to declare that God is the one who is in control, for thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever and ever. We're saying that God is the one who is in charge of all things, and therefore we're trusting in him today. God has all authority, and we forget that at our peril. And is that not what has happened to our nation in recent days? That we have forgotten that God is in control. We have forgotten that God has the authority. And we've looked to man, and we've looked to all sorts of places. And yet we need to say, thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever and ever. And then we finish with that word, amen. Amen is not just a convenient way to finish a prayer. Amen is, yes, Lord. Let it be, Lord. And so whenever we get to the end of the Lord's Prayer, we're saying to God, yes, Lord, that is what I want to happen. Yes, Lord, may it be so. May these things happen. May this be the way that the world is. And so that's my prayer today, that you take the words of the Lord's Prayer and pray them, maybe every day, maybe several times a day. When you're not sure what to say to God, go through this little prayer. But then take each of the phrases and spend a little bit of time. Maybe take one phrase a day for the next week. And just for a couple of moments, look at that phrase and think about what God is saying to you through it. Think about what you can pray to God about, because Jesus hears our prayers. He answers our prayers. And prayer is where we will find the solutions to our problems in the world today. So now we're going to be led in the Lord's Prayer by lots of members of our congregation.
The Lord's Prayer.
Let us pray.
Our Father.
Our Father.
Our Father.
Who art in heaven.
Hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come.
Thy will be done.
On earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread.
And forgive us our trespasses.
As we forgive those who trespass against us.
And lead us not into temptation.
But deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom.
Power and the glory.
Forever and ever.
Amen.
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 Heavenly Father, we worship you, the King of Kings, our Master and Creator, and give thanks that there is no one else like you. Father, we praise you for all creation, its beauty, and the lives that you have given to us and our families. We confess that we often take these things for granted. Father, forgive us for the many times that we have strayed from your narrow path. We are often sinful with our words, actions, and many times our inaction to help others in need, or our indifference to the injustice around us. We pray that you will commit your Holy Spirit to help and guide us in situations where we may succumb to temptation or indiscipline. We thank you for our nation and pray for our Prime Minister Boris Johnson and for our First Minister Arlene Foster and their governments. We pray that they would worship and obey you and govern with honesty and integrity. We pray that there would be godliness and righteousness in our lands. Father, our lives are in your hands. As we live through this COVID-19 pandemic, we ask that you would eradicate this virus and move all the key leaders towards a coordinated approach for all of humanity. This includes the much forgotten third world countries who every day struggle with multiple diseases and the lack of basic food, water, shelter, sanitation and medical care. Please comfort those who cry out to you in pain and grief at this time. Whether they are struggling with a life-threatening illness or coming to terms with the loss of a loved one, Father, be close to them. Our world economy is in the midst of a catastrophe. Many jobs have been lost and will be shed now and in the coming months. Many families and their relationships will struggle in these times. Father, be close to them, we pray. Reach out and comfort them. We pray that you would lay the grounds for an expedient economic recovery, and that future wealth and prosperity would be distributed more equitably. During this pandemic, we have witnessed acts of kindness never witnessed in our generation. We thank you for this and for the sense of duty people across the world have shown, whether it be the key workers, from the porters to the surgeons in our hospitals, or the people who have continued in their jobs to make life go on. We thank them all. Father, We thank you in the name of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
We take a moment now simply to give thanks to God for the generosity of his people. I know that many of you watching today are not actually members of Burnside Church. You may just visit us sometimes, or you may just be watching because you're at home and you're able to join us in our worship. You may belong to another church. Can I encourage you to remember to give to whichever church you do belong to? These are difficult times for churches with no regular worship and no regular income. It's important that we support the Lord's work at this time, and there will be various ways that you can give to your particular church. I want to say a huge thank you to those who are supporting the work here in Burnside at this time. We could not continue without your support. And so we want to take this moment in our time of worship to thank God and to praise him and to ask his blessing. So let's pray together. Heavenly Father, you have given us this day our daily bread. Everything that we have has come from your gracious hand. And so, Lord, as we give to you as our act of worship today, we pray that you would accept our offering and that it would be used for your kingdom and for your glory. Help us, Lord, never to accept your gifts for granted, but help us, Lord, always to give you thanks and to praise your name. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hello everyone in Burnside, from Peter
and Anna
Crawford, and we're with ECM, currently in Lisbon, currently actually surrounded by boxes because we're in the middle of packing, but soon to be in Greece.
Yeah, it's a bittersweet moment as we pack up and take with us lots of memories of God blessing us through being involved in two church plants here in Park of the Nations and further into the city, a church called Alta Christa.
It brings the end of a 12-year period here, which is amazing. It's actually the longest period we've ever lived in any house. And we're closing up, is as Anna said, bittersweet. But we're looking forward to the next adventure and the story of how God is calling us to live and work in Athens, Greece. Is a fairly long one, but for a short, won't work with a short video like this. But suffice to say, it began 3 years ago during a visit to the city of Athens and being aware of not just the tremendous challenge of huge numbers of refugees and immigrants who are arriving, but also the way the Greek evangelical churches are rising to that challenge and need support and help.
So we're in the midst of packing and we need a lot of prayer. Our goods are supposed to go on the 18th of June, crossing numerous borders. Some of them haven't been opened as yet. We're booked on a flight for the 2nd of July, and Aegean Airlines hasn't started flying between Lisbon and Athens.
The flight in the 2nd will be there first, so we're hoping it won't be cancelled. Well, praise the Lord, we have a place, a house to stay in immediately while we look for rented apartments, and we're looking forward to that time. What will we be doing there, Anna?
Well, I hope to be involved in member care or pastoral care. That's my heartbeat. I've noticed that a lot of workers who come into Athens need care to enable them to do their work, and that's something I really enjoy doing.
And my heartbeat is mainly for the immigrant people from Iranian, Afghan, Syrian backgrounds who have come to Greece for obviously to escape their situations, but many of them have settled. And many have become Christians, and you can actually see a very well worthwhile documentary on this. It's called Jesus in Athens, simply, and you can find it on Amazon Prime. Really encourage you to see what, hear from that, some of the testimonies, amazing testimonies of what God is doing.
Yes, and thank you for your prayers. Please continue to pray for us. Thank you for your support, and we would like, if you're interested, we would be glad to send you our prayer letter via Richard.
And we'll still be with European Christian Mission in Greece. Up to now, ECM hasn't had a presence, and so we are hoping to build up a base and to welcome other new missionaries and workers from other countries and help them integrate and get involved. Thank you very much.
Why Jesus? Because he hears prayer. He promises us in the Bible that he will listen to us whenever we pray. And whenever you read the word hear in the Bible, it carries with it the idea of action. Sometimes we can hear things, but we don't do anything about it. But whenever Jesus hears, that automatically implies that he listens to what we've said, and then he does something about it. He answers the prayer. So when Jesus hears a prayer, he answers that prayer. So why Jesus? Because he's able to answer prayer. And at this time, we need prayer more than ever. There's been lots of debate recently about how soon we can open up our churches. And of course, we don't want to open churches any faster than we absolutely need to. We want to make sure that it's safe to do so. We don't want people coming to church and then being infected by this virus, especially those who would be classified as vulnerable. So we want to do it steadily and safely. But this week, there was a comment from the First Minister about the opening of churches. And it was a positive step, but it did sadden me slightly. I've written it down just so that we get the full impact of it. Mrs. Foster said, "The Deputy First Minister, Michelle O'Neill, and I have also agreed to establish a working group involving churches and other faith groups to discuss how best to achieve the gradual opening of places of worship safely, step by step, in recognition of the importance of faith in people's lives in Northern Ireland." Now, that is a great statement, because the First Minister and Deputy First Minister recognise that faith is important in many people's lives, and therefore they will want to be able to join in worship as soon as possible. But it saddened me as well, because we truly need a leader at this time to recognise that faith is not just important in a few people's lives. Faith is important to our whole nation at this time. So we need a First Minister and a Deputy First Minister to call people to pray and say, we recognise that faith is vital for this country to survive and to recover from coronavirus. We need a Prime Minister who will stand up and say, we cannot beat this virus on our own. We need God to step in and intervene. We need a politician or a leader to stand up and to say, people of this land, will you pray? And today in Burnside at Home, we're thinking about the Lord's Prayer. We're thinking about how it's a pattern for us in our prayers to God. And we need to pray to God, because a vaccine is not going to be here for a long time. Social distancing is not going to help us out of this problem. It's good, and it's a good step, but we need something much greater than that. We need the Lord God Almighty to intervene, and we need to be on our knees praying to God, asking that he would intervene. So I hope that faith is important in your life. But let's remember today that faith is vital to this nation. And for too many years, we've rejected God. For too many years, we've turned our backs on God. For too many years, our nation has ploughed its own furrow and forgotten about God's word and forgotten about God's law, and indeed gone against God in so many ways. It's time for us to turn back, to repent of our sin, to humble ourselves before God, and to seek his face this day, that he would come in revival power through his Holy Spirit and sweep through this land. Why, Jesus? Because nobody else will be able to help us apart from Jesus. Why, Jesus? Because Jesus hears prayer. He listens to prayer. He answers prayer. Boys and girls, there are lots of ways that we can communicate with each other during these times of lockdown. Of course, you can send text messages, you can send emails, you can video call people. But sometimes the only way to talk to somebody is on the phone. And sometimes the phone is great, and sometimes the phone is a little bit difficult. There are certain people that I phone and there's no problem talking to them on the phone. You ring them up and they talk and they talk and they talk a bit more. You know who you are today. You know who that person is, don't you? Yeah, of course you do. Mentioning no names. But then there are other people, and sometimes the conversation is a little bit more difficult. Now, if you were meeting the person face to face, it would be fine. You could talk away. You wouldn't mind the odd little pause, and then you could carry on talking. But on the phone, those pauses seem so long, and it's difficult. So sometimes before I'll ring someone, I'll try and work out some of the things that I could say to that particular person, some of the things that they like doing, some of the things that they're interested in. Remember to ask them about a few things, because sometimes my mind just goes blank whenever I phone someone. I forget the most obvious things. So get a little list, and then I know what I can talk to somebody about if there's a pause in the conversation. Well, you know, the disciples came to Jesus and they had a similar problem. They were having trouble talking to someone, and they came to Jesus and they said, what should we say? What sort of things can we say whenever we go to talk to this person? They were really coming to Jesus and they were saying, teach us to pray. We want to talk to God. What will we say? And Jesus taught them about prayer. And in our Bible reading today that Laura's going to read for us, Jesus gives us some wonderful tips about prayer. And then he gives us a little prayer that we can use ourselves, the Lord's Prayer. And there's going to be lots of people from the congregation saying that prayer later on in our time of worship together. And that is a prayer that we can use when we don't know what to say to God. We can simply follow the words, or we can use it as a little reminder for other things to say to God. So if you want to talk to God, especially during this time of lockdown, and maybe you're not sure what to say, maybe you're worried about saying the right thing or the wrong thing, why not use the Lord's Prayer and pray it, and then use it to remind you of other things to say to God? And now Laura is going to read that passage from Matthew chapter 6, where Jesus tells us, and indeed the disciples, about prayer. And now the blessing to each one of you at the end of our time of worship at Burnside at Home today. May you be blessed by the holy name of our Father. Lift it high over everything that you do. May his will be done in your life. May you receive your daily bread and forgiveness for your sins. And may God deliver you from all evil, so that all may see his power and his glory displayed in your life. Amen.